Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Pepper?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Here.
Did I forget anybody? I don't think so on that one. Commissioner LeConte? Commissioner Ammons? Commissioner Senecal?
Here.
Commissioner McCain?
Here.
Commissioner Ekberg? Commissioner Amber?
Boy. Okay. Yes, thank you. So I just a couple of things for tonight is I want to just have a recap of what we've done and what we have left to do, and then go over what my goals are for this night's meeting. So we have done a lot of work already, and tonight we're going to be talking to the Parks, Recreation, Trails, and Open Space, and that was not its own chapter, but we're making it its own chapter. We'll be covering that tonight in our next meeting. Then we have utilities, capital facilities, economic development, and transportation. So we're really coming down the home stretch on getting this draft plan together. So I'm hoping that, you know, we're out of sync, and with the transition, I felt, you know, kind of feel like I've lost a little bit of ground. September 5th would be our next regular, if we were on the schedule, would be that next meeting. So I'm hoping that we can just convene a September 5th meeting, if that works for you all. Oh, it is. Oh, we can't do Labor Day.
It would be the 6th.
The 6th?
The 6th. That's a Tuesday. Okay. Tuesday the 6th.
Okay, so I wrote down the wrong date. Oh, good. So we the 6th. Okay, so are we okay for that to calendar that? Okay, good. Labor Days. I know. That was my first day here. So for tonight, you've got on your on the desk in front of you, you have this document, which is a page out of the comprehensive plan that we currently have adopted. And you also have, you were emailed, some of you were emailed. In fact, I'm not sure all of you were, but I'm going to pass out the commissioners were probably not emailed the red line version. But after that went out, I made some pretty significant changes and took out the red line. So that's why I gave you a new copy in front of you, because I'd like for us to work off of that. So for tonight, you know, if we could go through kind of the appendix and then have a discussion on goals.
You want to work off
the non-red line one. Well, it was emailed out, so I don't know. You decide. I want to make sure everybody gets the same material. That's our working document. So just like the other chapters, we're taking a lot of the information and putting it into an appendix, because that way the actual element itself will be, you'll open it up and you'll see the goals and the policies, and it'll, I think, it'll be a little easier for people to understand what it is that we're trying to accomplish in our comprehensive plan. So with the appendix document, the one that's not the red line, and you also notice that we didn't have much to start with. This is it. So these 8 pages are, I guess it's more than eight, it are mostly new information, with the exception that the level of service tables and things that were in the comp plan are now in this appendix. So a little bit of background, which you probably know the background better than. That's an appendix. Mm-hmm. To what we haven't, what you haven't reviewed yet. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So that's all the information that's gonna set us up for next meeting on September 6th for the actual chapter with the goals and policies. So this is the background information. So I just wanted to make sure that we kind of go through that really quick and we understand where we're at and what we need to do. Yeah. That was a change. Yeah. Yeah. So good. That's good catch. So there's going to be differences in this clean copy from the one that you received. Yeah. Some corrections and also a significant amount of new information about the future parks strategy. So in 2008. The city adopted what's called a functional plan, so the parks, recreation, and open space, the PROS plan. PROS plans are done typically because you want to be able to be eligible for state grant money. And 2008, now the planning horizon on this was ended in 2013, mm-hmm. but this is what established our level of service standards that we are still using until such a time as the city starts over and updates this plan. And when that happens, then, you know, and so you probably saw language throughout here that said, yes, we're using this, yes, the inventory is fine, but in the future the city may choose to revise its level of service standards or recreational facility standards as you go through another update, kind of an iteration of that process. People may have changed.
And so that would start with updating that plan.
This one, yep.
And then
yep, exactly, okay. Yep. So then in 2010, the city commissioned this non-motorized transportation and parks trails plan. And I did use information. It was not adopted, but it's got very good information. It was a lot more specific to, of course, the trails and non-motorized. And so I used inventories and information, and really this got to where it had some good, you know, some recommendations. So we'll, you know, probably we'll be incorporating some of that because it seemed to be a very valid document. Two, another effort, planning effort, was the Lake Sawyer Park Development Concept Plan, which was done in 2008. And so this is a concept park plan for what to do with Lake Sawyer Regional Park. It is adopted as part of this. So this part of the comp plan element certainly retains the intent and concept that we've got adopted until the city wants to go through a process and change it.
And so then I'm thinking, how much, what's the mechanism for the legislative park plan update?
That would be the same, probably the same park planning process where you'd probably, you know, want to maybe try to get an RCO grant to update it. It looked like that was the money that they used when they did that.
I'm sorry, I was being interrupted.
Oh, I think that it's the same process as the PROS plan. It looked like it was funds from the state.
From the state.
Yeah.
So it was from
but it's possible there may be other pots of money because it is focusing on non-motorized transportation there. There may be other money sources for that.
Right, and there's a, I'm thinking that there's a lot of county activity that even goes through there. I don't really know how that lines up.
Right.
And
yeah.
Yeah, we probably should. Yeah.
So our existing conditions, you know, 227 acres of land, and that concludes the active and passive land. And we can then break that down of that 200, and I just found a typo on page one. I forgot to fix that on the second paragraph. I wrote of the 217 acres, and I should have said of the 227. So 168 of them are in the Lakeswear Regional Park. So most of our park land, open space land, is Lakeswear Regional Park. And then we go down to look at, there's, you know, 14 acres of open space around Jones Lake. And the Ginder Creek site is 27 and a half acres. Again, that's open space. And then we discuss at the bottom of page one, and starting over with page two.
Well, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
In the inventory, at the very bottom of that second paragraph, it was used to be a lot of detailed portions of the project.
Yeah.
The system of all four single track compromise and hydrogen. I don't think that's quite right.
Okay.
Number one, Old Studio Park does not.
Okay.
So we're talking about the park. The parts of the trails and the railroad bed are all being counted.
Okay.
So most of the trails are there, except some of it's on Humboldt property. But we really,
it's not ours.
Does not have any of those. So I think that needs to delete.
Okay. I'll delete that. And there will be other places throughout this document that refers to that incorrectly. Then, okay.
So that's a King County park inside the city of Black Diamond?
No. The trails are in King County. The trails are not in the park. There is no trails in the park.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
Other than the gravel walkway that goes from the gravel parking lot down to the lake.
Okay.
That's
it. Okay. Then.
So the 168 acres Lake Sawyer Regional Park, is that in Black Diamond?
Mm-hmm.
Does Black Diamond own it?
Mm-hmm.
It was given to us by King County.
Mm-hmm.
The history counts, do you know what that is that Tom and Cody Cole sold it to King County years ago for X amount of $1 million. So King County was going to improve it to be like the Barrymore.
Yeah, because this area was transferred from King County for future development as a regional park.
Yep.
Now, you know, you have like libraries and regional libraries. And regional libraries have certain amenities with them. So I'm wondering when it says regional park.
Yeah.
Let's get into that because I've got some comments on it.
Okay, good. So the way that I understand the regional park is that it's supposed to have amenities that would be, you know, like ball fields and things like that on a portion of it, a 38-acre portion of the.
But where is that, my question? Where is that site? Because back years ago, my husband and I went through all of this documentation and the deed and all of that, and we could not find any.
The park plan, that shows, that park plan shows you where that is, where that, in the back. If you flip to the Lake Sawyer part, you know, it probably was never.
It was never, it really was not recorded by King County when it came. But then there was the charrette that was done.
Yeah.
And that was a whole group of people that decided what they wanted to have done with.
So in the agreement, you never.
But there was nothing that transferred with the agreement of the deed from King County to the city of London.
Was it part of RC? No, well, no, I took that from those documents. So I assumed that it was because it was a requirement from the grant money that we used, that was used. That's what I was.
That was
I was thinking it was part of, well, it. Okay. Right. And there was no monies that the city used, Commissioner Senecal?
Commissioner Senecal, so here, this sentence, the county also specified the 38.6-acre parcel at the southwest corner of the property be developed for active recreation. Is that something you took out of that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So doesn't that specifically then line out that 38.6-acre parcel somewhere?
It does in there, right? But what Council Member Edelman is saying is that that never occurred historically, that it didn't.
Councilman Senecal, well, where does the language the county specified?
That came from that park plan.
Does that reference the specification source?
No, unfortunately. But I, you know, if people of the Edelmans, did you, you've already done research on
years
that.
And years ago, yeah.
Councilmember Morgan here. Last year, when I was discussing this issue with members of the Lake Sawyer Foundation, who had done input on this plan, and with members of the community club, it is true that what I appeared to find was a certain division, but a recognition that these sports fields were where they were. There was, they weren't as agitated about it. The people who didn't want them weren't as agitated because they were in a low-lying area, so they felt like the noise and such with the park around it would be a little bit camouflaged. They were a little disturbed about the lighting that's mm-hmm. required on professional mm-hmm. level sports fields. Mm-hmm. And there was kind of a gentleman's agreement amongst them that the money just would not come available to go ahead with those sports fields because they really didn't want them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what it was,
Councilmember Edelman.
At the time that this was all going on, the economy was starting to change. That's why King County gave it to us, because they couldn't afford. Now, in today's world, they would be doing all those improvements because they had a park bond issue that passed.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave it to us knowing that they couldn't do anything at that time. We didn't have any funds to do anything, so it never got any farther than the charrette. And there's a lot of people that live on 312. On the west side of the lake that were really concerned about ball fields and lighting
mm-hmm.
because they would be the most impacted by it. But then there's the other folks on Lake Sawyer that were concerned about the quantity of fields, whatever variety of sports you want to talk about,
mm-hmm.
because it's a lake, and especially at night, mm-hmm. everything carries.
That would,
you can have a conversation across the lake from me, and I can hear it mm-hmm. at night.
So
that's why there was a lot of concern expressed back then about how much development happened.
So I think the big question is, if it didn't, you know, the way that you, when you read the backstory and the documentation, which isn't official, it sounds as though in that agreement it was stipulated that the city would do this, and Council Member Edelman, you said there's no such thing that exists.
But it exists here. No.
Well,
the
county didn't stipulate it.
No transfer of that requirement from King County to the city of Black Diamond. But then the charrette happened as a result of the charrette.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know what that was a group of citizens that got together to decide basically what they wanted to do and what the future of the park was going to be. And it was a very extensive thing. They had a lot of
mm-hmm.
It also consisted, because it was a more regional, it wasn't just like other residents that were included in that committee. And so that's, I think, where this concept comes. came up.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in the chairs out here in the audience when horse people got up and complained, and the bikers, the mountain bikers complained, and the walkers were complaining, because it was going to be, it's going to take away from the passive usage of the park the way it is right now that everybody uses. And that was their concern at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the economy, you know, ended up working in our favor in that case.
Councilmember Morgan here. The other thing that this is bringing back for me is there was some discussion that I think Seth Botcher knows would know about when they developed the ball fields more over at Ravensdale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how far or to what level that went, but that those ball fields might take over some of Lake Sawyer Park ball field responsibility, somehow in the county's eyes.
Well, it really sounds like...
So it's a pretty complicated issue.
It sounds like maybe there needs to be a little more research. If there's any... I'm just questioning whether or not there needs to be research, or it's been so much time has passed that maybe if it doesn't exist in writing... Then it doesn't mean anything, even
right.
If someone said, oh,
so
yeah.
Councilmember Edelman here, too. I also, I'm going to jump ahead because this is kind of an elephant in the room anyway, is under the master plan development agreement, Oak Point is obligated to build some ball fields, tennis courts, basketball courts, and all of that.
Exactly, and if you jump ahead, you see... The MPD requirements, which
right,
you didn't have
right.
in the...
I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I had commented on during the hearing was basically we are not going to give up the Lake Sawyer Regional Park to fulfill the requirements mm-hmm. of Oak Point,
mm-hmm.
What they're contracted to build and provide to their development. We should not, there should be no trade-offs. We should not accept money in lieu of, because it's always going to be in somebody else's benefit,
mm-hmm.
not the city's. It'll always cost us more money
right.
To do that.
So the development agreement did maintain that in lieu of payment, but it's going to come before council, and it will ultimately be the city's decision whether or not to do that.
There were a lot of us that were just adamant about that, not to destroy our park.
Yeah.
So
my question for this group is, do you want me to do further research on whether or not that stipulation actually, if there's something that's out there, or are you satisfied with all the research that's been done on it already, and we want to strike that from the document?
Because when I'm reading this, it says there's a 38.6 parcel. It designates the location, but it also says recreational grant requirements.
Yeah.
Did we ever, because it sounds like if you meet the grant requirements, then you can do this. I don't know the weight, whether the parcel, this 38.6 acres, has to be developed, or if you qualify, or if you apply for grants.
Well, what I think
regional grants that would be available, and so that would be a choice.
What I think may have happened is I think that maybe the city got grant money to do that Lake Sawyer Park plan because it was going to create a regional park. I think that's probably what might have happened. So the research that I would do, if you want me to do it, is to go back to the RCO grant application and look at what did the city ask for that planning money for. Did we ask for planning money to actually, you know, because because it's the first preliminary phase of figuring out where to put a regional park?
Aaron looked into all that a few years ago.
It was Aaron that said that he didn't find in the original documents that there was that stipulation. But I don't know that he looked into whether we got bond issues in order to do that charrette plan or grant. And so I don't know if he checked into that to see if there was some trade-off in that agreement where they got the grant money to do the charrette. I don't know. I don't remember having that discussion with him.
And the worst, I mean, it would have been in the application, it would have been, but the worst case scenario is that the city would pay that money back if they ever came back and said, well, you know, but so many years have passed that I just can't imagine that would. You're exactly right. It was probably to develop, do charrettes, and go through a preliminary planning design concept for a regional park. That's exactly right.
Councilmember Edelman, I think the other thing, too, that we need, timing is everything right now, because some of this could have all been done under the umbrella of King County before it transferred to us. But if the group here, all of the members agree, I can have Bob go through his stuff. We've got boxes of records and see what we've got.
I don't think it's necessary.
Mayor Benson, I think that Dave Amber has a good point that, you know, we're talking about a long-term thing. We don't have any plans to develop the park right now. And I think that if we don't have anything that says anything except in there, what do you think, that we have to put that 20 or 38 acres or acres in there?
We could strike that sentence. Yeah. We could certainly strike that sentence.
Okay, I think, I don't know who had the turn.
We have types of parks in here and levels of service listed, so many per so many thousand population. There's no mention in here of a regional park,
right,
and what population requires a regional park and how many miles somebody has to be within a regional park.
Right. That's exactly right, because that's outside of the purview of what the city's responsibilities are for providing park opportunities for its citizenry. So the regional thing isn't.
Don't we have to fit into King County planning model, and don't they have the level of service for regional parks?
They do not. They don't.
They don't.
Mm-hmm. I looked at that because I looked to see if countywide planning policies or some regional,
wow, that's
and they don't.
So, Councilmember Deedy, so I was just going to say that. So, if we had grants to do the charrette, so at that time, you know. So you had a grant to get everybody together to go through that document to figure out what the park was going to be used for. But nothing in the charrette or at any time has said that the city of Black Diamond has to have these done by a certain date. I mean, it's all based on money. King County didn't have the money to do it. The city of Black Diamond has no money to make this as well. And we're already struggling as a council just to pass grants. So I can't even imagine trying to get more grants to come in to even fulfill a park need. So at this time, you know, I think this whole charrette thing is a mute thing for us right now anyways until more population comes in.
Commissioner McCain, I think on that same line, as part of the transfer, it talks about in the middle of the third paragraph, as part of the transfer, King County required a trail route be designated through the property to function as a regional trail link. It could quite possibly be in that same document where that requirement was, if there were other requirements, if we could track back to whichever document that was.
Mayor Benson, Seth is the one that was working on the regional trail, so he would know if that document has existed. So that would probably be.
All right. Council Member Weber, as far as all this goes, you know, it's still preliminary. We're still gathering data. But I, when it comes down to making decisions on this, I'm not going to – I want to know what the facts are. I don't want to go off of I thinks or going off of memory. I think we should have – you know, if we're going to make the decisions, we need to have the facts and not speculation and I think kind of stuff.
Commissioner Amber, I don't think we've got speculation. I mean, I think Janie's pretty clear on what she's got. I mean, I'd take her word for it. And you haven't found anything.
I really haven't looked because I took it from the adopted. I took it from an adopted city document.
Okay, if there's nothing. If there's nothing on the deed, then attached to the deed. I think that first paragraph or that second paragraph there should just say the first sentence and then blank everything out from there.
Yeah, I just when it says recreational grant requirement, that's outside money. That's money coming in if we can get it at a time when we are ready to apply for that. Because, well, it does, I mean, but it's outside money, so that's. I guess because this language looks pretty formalized, I don't know about figuring it all out. I don't know enough.
Well, and I just did want to say something a little more. Council Member Deedy is right, and it kind of goes back to also Commissioner Senegal, and the city isn't. Cities aren't on the hook to provide regional park facilities. And in fact, I mean, unless there was some agreement, something in an agreement somewhere, they're not typically going to be on the hook to do that or to have level of service standards in their park plans to have people near regional facilities. We are, however, going to be on the hook to make sure that we're providing the level of service standards we adopted for our own community and neighborhood parks. So just wanted to add that to what you said.
Well, all of these parks that I read in here.
Commissioner Amber, all these parks that I read in here are, and planned parks are supposed to be designed at certain increments in population growth. And so is that going to mean that would reduce the population growth needed to put in a huge park?
No, because, again, cities aren't, I mean, the regional park is sort of it's different than what the requirements for the city's level of service are for city parks, not for a regional facility, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. This is Councilmember Edelman.
What they're saying is, well, none of that language transferred through the deed.
It didn't transfer through the deed, but I think because it was referred to as the Lake Storia Regional Park and through the charrette, that the phrase just stuck. And it was a way of differentiating the south end of Lake Storia Park versus the boat launch park. So that's why I think the terms stayed the way it was.
Give away all that land without a legal requirement that it eventually be a regional park. I find that kind of weird. There's got to be a legal document somewhere.
We sure couldn't find it. We couldn't find it at all. Well, then does the city want to pay somebody to try to find it? Well, bottom line, what's the value? There's no money to develop the park right now anyway, and probably won't be for the next 10 years. The parks that are going to be points responsibility to build on their property, not the
so.
Should be able
like those two park benches. They wanted to get some park benches, so they got somebody to give them the money or donate the money so they could put those two park benches. Now,
who's
one
they?
Of them,
foundation.
The foundation,
okay.
Like their park foundation. So they got somebody to help donate to make those two benches, but that one bench that's down by the water would not be able to be located now with our shoreline management plan, but it was placed too close to the water. But at that time, he was not aware of any agreement that we had to do anything to the park, that we could keep it passive.
No, I agree, that's all hearsay. We need to get a document from the council saying there's no requirement, it's your property now, there's no requirement that there ever be a county regional park. We need to have something cut and dry that we can plan on. Not all of us, I think he said, she said, she couldn't remember, they couldn't find it.
Councilmember Edelman, it ought to be in the deed of transfer, the title transfer to the city by yeah. That's where the legal requirements should be.
Somebody have the deed.
The city should have.
Well, let's get the deed and look at it.
Okay, so you, Council Member Deedy, do you think you have Edelman. Sorry. Do you think you have it in a box? In the deed? No? Okay.
No.
Oh, let me just look. I'll just look on the assessor.
Okay.
You can get it that easily. Okay. Great. So we'll get a copy of the deed.
Because the city in their files have the deed somewhere.
Yeah.
But if you can get, yeah, because you'll just go in and get a copy. I mean, that's easy to do.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something we will we'll address at our September 6th, and we'll figure out whether that language stays or if we want to just kind of massage it a little bit. Or the other thing that so the Lake Sawyer Park Foundation Mayor,
uh-huh.
Who would I contact? Who?
Leah Grant.
And do you have her phone number, contact information?
I do.
Okay. I'll need to talk to her before we come back to. So then we talk about the bottom of page one and going into page two, we have a discussion about the other parks that we have that are reflective in the table here of the inventory. Mm-hmm. So I need to change that. I think somewhere I put in there that it was the community center. Owned and operated.
Yeah, we changed.
Owned.
That was one of the things that took us forever to change because it's on city property.
Okay.
It was given to the community center, but the community center can't operate something that's on city property.
Okay. So I am going to fix that on the top paragraph of page two. Owned and operated by the City of Black Diamond.
And I think that table needs to be changed.
Yeah,
there's
a table.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the one.
And the BMX track is adjacent, well, it's across the street from, across the road from the gym.
Okay.
So not next to the community center.
Across the
street.
Road, okay. So then the pocket parks, Union Stump, and so then any more on table one on the inventory. I did have Seth look at that to make sure that I had the acreages right.
Can you talk about where some of these parks are?
Mm-hmm.
I know some of them are.
Okay.
And when you were referring to Lake Story Boat Launch, I think it's Lake Story Boat Launch Park.
Mm-hmm. Boat Launch Park,
so
okay.
So I think in your inventory, the first paragraph, wherever it is, it should be Lake Story Boat Launch.
Okay, Boat Launch Park, I will add that in. So what? Which ones?
When you talk about the, I know what you mean, stuff is, Cole Creek
triangle?
That's the triangle right on Roberts Drive and 169. That's the triangle.
Well, it's
it's designated a park.
It's open space. Yeah.
Okay. And then don't say open space. I must know what sort of room that is.
Can you probably point this out for the night? And it's off of Erica.
Okay. Was this right off of? Is that Morgan?
Morgan,
yeah.
There's Morgan right there.
It's that. That's kind of hard using a zoning map. It's not really improved either. That's another one of those things where we haven't gotten the grant.
Is it identified in any way?
It's a library preserve.
Yeah.
Is it?
I like it. All right, and then the Eagle Creek Community Park. I don't think I know where that is.
Yeah.
The Eagle Creek Development.
Yeah.
That's
across from the community.
The gym is right across the street.
Yeah, there's a.
So the gym is over here, and the BMX. Track is right across the street.
Okay, I think I have.
So have you gone to the farmer's market? It's across the street from where the farmer's market is.
And they mounted up dirt.
Oh,
dirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll recognize that. Then
the
park cemetery.
We have a city-owned cemetery.
Does it have a name?
The Black Diamond.
Or just Black Diamond Cemetery.
We always just say cemetery, I think.
Abrams.
So the Morgan Creek Wetland Trail, it is
much of the time.
It's a subdivision, the Morgan Creek subdivision.
Yeah, it's all the way up. You take a left.
Right to the
water.
Yeah. There's a subdivision here, and there's just a trail.
Yeah.
If you don't, I mean, it's not like
no, you're talking about
right, but there's just a trail around the perimeter of that.
Let's get back together here. So the question, you know, we just kind of went through the map and where these things are located. But the question is, like, well, are these open to the public? Yes, they're public lands that are open to the public. They aren't, in many cases, those open space properties are not improved. But that would be something that you would go through in your prioritization and funding on your CIP to decide, well, do we want to improve the Ginder Creek? Do we want to put a sign? Do we want to make it, you know, but that's a different
yeah.
process.
And when you go for accessibility, you just don't go, you got to make it ADA accessible. You got to make it accessible for everyone to
you know, we have the CIP and we have the TIP. Do we have, like, the PIP, like the Park Improvement Program?
Well, it's funny you should say that because other cities have PIPs, but your PIP goes into your SIP, into your CIP. Your PIP becomes part of your CIP. Okay. So whether or not you actually do a PIP process or not, you are still required to have those park projects and the funding mechanism on your CIP.
And one of the things, whenever I see this, like about the coal car, I keep wondering if we should memorialize our other monuments around town. And one of the reasons why that always sort of strikes me is a lot of like the gardening and upkeep around those things and the coal cars themselves, that's community, private citizen effort that puts those in. And I'm thinking that that would open us up a way to thank those people for their contribution.
By memorializing, are there other sites that should be... Are there other monuments that we're missing other than these? Are there other monuments out there? And they're all located in the city right of way. So do we want to add those to this?
Mayor Benson, I don't think they're really part.
No.
But I was going to say here when it was talking about the location of Union Stump, you said, which is near Morganville, but it's in front of the cemetery. I think that would be much easier to identify that it sits in front of the cemetery.
Yeah. That we're calling that Black Diamond Cemetery?
Yeah.
That's
it.
Upper?
No.
Black Diamond. We just keep calling it the cemetery, but we'll give it a proper name now. No. No, because isn't eight, one was the inventory, the other one is the level of park types and level of service, which is now table two. Okay, so. So we have no picnic area. I thought there was one table there. Okay. So strike off the picnic area. What else, Mayor?
The
single track. Okay. Okay. Hiking trails, leave them or not? Isn't. Okay. So we've got parking.
You could just say hiking trail. There is a trail.
Well, you could say hiking trail, yeah.
But I would get rid of all that other stuff.
Okay. I don't know if you want to put hiking or that kind of, or walk on the trail, just a walking.
Mm-hmm. Walking.
That is a walking trail.
Okay. So are the other features on, is there anything else we want to change about table one before we move on? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does the city have to maintain any insurance policies on any of these open space slash parks? And does the delineation of one versus the other change that?
No, but our insurance does cover all the parks.
Okay, so all of these on park, all these on table one.
Yeah, because we at the skateboard park a couple years ago, some kid got his thumb injured, and so the city had to go in and on the fence that was around it. He got his thumb injured. We had to pay for the medical bills, and then we had to fix the fence so that he wouldn't get somebody wouldn't get injured. So they closed the park for like a week or something to fix the fence. Okay. So
we do have liability policy. Okay, thank you.
So then on page three, what I've done is page three and most of page four has listed the other facilities or amenities that are not city-owned, and the reason for doing that is that the Growth Management Act requires that you put that in there and you have a discussion about those. So anybody want to make corrections on? Parking lot, okay.
There's a sign there that says no trailers in parking lot.
And that area is not in the city. That's in Eaton County.
Yeah, but there's a lot of these things.
I understand.
Most of
I understand. I understand. I understand.
That
was another question.
The difference is that Eagle Creek was actually dedicated to the city, and the Lawson Hills parks were part of the approval for the subdivision, and they retained in like the homeowners.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Councilmember Dee, so that was brought forward to the council. I think it was last year, if I'm right, by citizens of your of the Lawson Hills, and since. The Homeowners Association is owned, I believe, by Palmer Cook and Cole.
Yeah.
That is where you got to take that up to. That's where you got to get your people all rallied up and go there, because the city has no say in the Homeowners Association.
Yeah, I understand that. I'll just tell you guys that the Homeowners
So one of the benefit of if we had other pocket parks, we would be listing those too, because in our level of service standards, we say that we have a level of service standard for pocket parks. And so because even though they're retained in ownership by the Homeowners Association, they still are considered public parks. And so that when the city looks at subdivision and whether, you know, the requirements are, you want to have that pocket park requirement in there so that when you, as a condition of approval, that developer of a new subdivision has to put pocket parks in.
So, Councilmember Dede, so I've been in the housing developments where the parks are private. So I don't ever remember the one on Lawson Hill becoming public. Where it's, I thought it's still a private park. It's not a public park.
And the vision of the politician, the ownership for the amount of people in the subdivision, but generally they're not public.
Yeah, so I would take out public on the Lawson Hills part, because it is not a public part. It is the land up there is owned by Palmer Cook and Cole, as is the Homeowners Association by them. So.
They own the Homeowners Association because they haven't sold out all the lots.
Right.
That's the only reason they're in charge of the Homeowners
Association. Right. Certain number of
houses are more
huge thing at, when they did the development for Eagle Creek Park and Partners Way that was tutored by experience at Lawson Hill and Parks. And the city wanted to be certain that that park at Eagle Creek would be open to the whole city and that it wouldn't have the kinds of issues that the Lawson Hills private park was having.
So I'll just strike the word public on those pocket parks. And any other corrections on page 3?
Heather, I have a question about the 50-acre conservancy park. The city is looking to acquire this site. Is there any other information that you want to get? Mayor Benson, King County has set some money aside for us to acquire that area, and we would have to come up with some matching funds that we do not have. So it's been, in the works for a long time, but we haven't.
It's kind of part of the open space agreement.
Right.
The whole big, it's that big open space agreement bubble, and this is one component of it. Yeah. Moving to page 4, we have finished the discussion about the other parks. Any more corrections on those? And then we get into the park types and level of service standards.
Okay. Just because we were talking about where things are, where's the Henry's Ridge Mountain Bike Trail?
Ravensdale Creek.
Is that? I'm on page 4, second to the last.
So, oh, I see.
So it's out. What I wrote was Henry's Ridge is east on, is the bike trail.
If there's any more talk about it, but at one time there was talk that there would need to be a pedestrian bicyclist overpass over 169 so that they could get back and forth without having to be on the road.
Well, that's all.
And that would be in the county.
That's a county problem.
Would be in the county. Would be
state.
State.
They
are
problem. And honestly, they would be
I think I'm going to add, though, that was a good definition. So to the Henry's Ridge Mountain Bike Trails, the east side of 169 and the Lake Sawyer Mountain Bike West Side. Yeah, I'm going to add that because that gives people a little more definition.
Be just a top off the bat. For the last 5 years at South King County Area Transportation Board, State Board, we have brought it up every time they brought the trails issue up, and nothing's happened with it. So
well, it's they're not this far.
It's not going anywhere.
Heather has a question about page 3. It says other public. What other public agencies?
County and state.
Okay, thank you.
So then we start the discussion about the level of service standards that were adopted in that 2008 park plan, and that there was a change. They're spatially based instead of population based. You're going to notice that the level of service standards and park types is, you know, so many percent of land area or so much of it didn't used to be that way. It used to be for so many people you would have this, like you've seen in Table 3 for those facility standards. They're still population-based. So we have a combination for level of service standard that's geographic, spatially based, and facilities that are population-based. That's a good what if. I would say that you would want to go through your park planning effort to update that park plan and have that discussion there. Because you have to kind of go through that whole, do we want to change our level of service? And this comp plan, this isn't, you need to go through, you'd be skipping a process. Yeah, those are from the RCO, the Washington State Recreation. Oh, I can never remember. RC Recreation Concert. Thank you. Yeah, that's where they come from. Table 2 just shows us what our park types are and what our level of service standards are for those. It also, on page 5, it describes those park types. I didn't do any changes to that. Those are what we have now. And then the same with the page 6 on the recreational facility standards, the minimum units per population for those different types of facilities. That's the same that we have now in our comp plan. Well, it probably is old, and so it was possible that they've changed because this was their recommendation in 2008. That's what that park plan was developed in 2008. And you don't have to take all their recommendations as you go through the park planning process. I mean, there may be some things that they recommend that just don't make sense.
Commissioner Amber, let's see. Is the agreement with the school district and all that it says, you know, they're going to put in a basketball court and a ball or whatever they put in there, that after when school is not in session, that is accessible to people of the city? Now, is that kind of included in a parks measurement?
Well, the school district, there's no formal letter of agreement between city and school district. Some places do that. I think here the school district just...
Land in order for it to be continually used has to be available to the public. So there is.
So would that be?
It says in here a tennis court for every 2,000.
we did count, we counted that in this table three. Those school district facilities are counted in this table. But yeah, they're right. There's that, I guess we could use that agreement with the land agreement.
Pepper talking, when you look at the facility standards, so you're saying one basketball court, so that means we need one more based on the population we have now. Is that how I'm reading this?
Well, no. Well, you kind of then you go over to the discussion on page 7, and we'll get to that.
Okay.
Hey, this table 3 is just simply showing what our standards, adopted standards, are per units, population units. So then we go into the bottom paragraph of.
Does it matter that the community center is not owned by the city? Because we have a community center, but they own the building. They operate as a nonprofit outside of the city. And we've been giving them insurance money the last few years to pay for their insurance to do, because most cities support their community centers in a different way than we do. So
we counted it.
It's unusual that the community center isn't. The city isn't more involved.
I don't know the answer to that, because we kind of pretend like it's us.
Yes. Well, and that Council Member Didi, and that's something that, you know, the council as a whole and the mayor can look into and decide if the community center is important enough to help support down the road in the next year. So definitely in the budget to look at.
And also, it seems to me that I have experienced in other situations that what I would call a community center is sort of a private-public partnership feel. And that social type services, and even some more concrete services of the city, of different cities, different places in the state, are made available to the public through public-private partnership, and even private parties doing the public service for the in the city. Maybe they get some benefit out of it, or maybe they are self-supporting.
Yeah, and in the element that you'll see when we come back, I have to talk about the coordination efforts that the city's making. So I will put something in about the community center and that, you know, so the city provides some benefit to the insurance.
Not more.
No.
So,
Council Member
Didi, so last year the council agreed to help pay for the insurance, but the council has not agreed to do that again for the following year. So just so everybody knows that me and Dave Amber are both on the board at the community center, and we do not have the funds to pay the insurance for the following year. So that's where, you know, a whole other area for the city to look at right now. It's not for a discussion here, but I just want everybody to know, you know, that listens to this, that obviously, myself and Dave Amber are huge advocates to ask the city to help, but we'll step back.
Councilmember Elmer, has there been any formal request made to the city? I know we're digressing, but that needs to happen.
Not yet. No.
So, then the council
can have. And I guess it does come up here that the community center would probably come under Parks and Recreation, wouldn't it? If it came into the city.
Yep.
So in a way, it may not happen right this minute, but, you know, we're thinking ahead about what we're going to do with writing a new plan, then maybe we'll come in.
So,
think about it, we might think that way.
Yeah, so that community center is in our well, it's a facility, it's an amenity that jurisdictions are supposed to have or partner with someone to provide to their citizenry. So then we talk about the existing needs. So this is, so we've looked at, you know, what our standards are. Then we start to go into an analysis of where we're at today. So the bottom of page 6 talks about, and this again is dated because I took this out of the 2008 plan, that 52% of the households are within 1.5 miles of the community park, which obviously doesn't meet that 90% standard that we've adopted. So that tells us we have a gap right now of community parks for our residents. Of the what acreage? No, because this is public lands designated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is referring to, maybe I should clarify that. This is referring to public open space lands. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's just a minimal example. And also, a lot of our standard of living and our community character and all that is defined by how much we have, you know, open space. And from, I thought before, actually, so the whole point here, so. When we look at what people are doing statewide in open space and recreation, we need to play that against what a comp plan mission statement is and make a judgment. Do we want more of this or do we want more of that?
So, but I do want to say to that is that the designation of this open space that we currently have, the city public open space, that will be reflected on the comp plan land use map. And so you're going to see that. That's one of the ways where you're going to see how they work together, and that will be as designated as open space. Future development is going to be extremely limited in those designated areas so that it preserves that open space at 10%. And since it's public land, we're not taking away private landowners' rights by doing that. So table 4, this is the illustration of what the types of parks, the standard, and what we actually have. So you can see that in the open space, we have half our level of service. We're meeting half of the level of service. Neighborhood park, we're not meeting that 75%. Community, that's a mistake. It's because it was 51%. So I need to correct that. So we're below that. And the trails, we just don't know. I mean, you could put it one of two ways. We could say we don't know because nobody's ever really inventoried the trails, or we could say we don't have any, but we know we have, like, a few trail miles. There's two, not a lot.
I mean,
We do have two trails that are, because Seth mapped them. Yeah. Right. And so I hated to say that the old comp plan said zero, I think. But that's not exactly accurate either, because some people live next to those two trails that we have. We just don't know what the percent of the population is.
There are, and someday in the future, with problems with Abrams Avenue the way it is, I kind of have a vision of turning Abrams Avenue itself into that will be maintained as a trail, not as a road with, certain parties being able to use it.
So then down to table five, which is somebody was asking that translation of the minimum units per population and what does that look like? Well, you see it's one basketball court for every 2,000 people, and we have two, so we're actually providing one basketball court for every 2,100 people. So we're meeting that one.
So I also like to point out, during the fall time, my husband Brock Beattie also opens the gym for people to come in and play basketball. So if we advertise and if we don't get anybody, it kind of falls away. But maybe you can add that too, because the city does own the gym; it has the basketball court.
So we actually have three, so
yeah,
not two,
right?
Basketball court, one for 2,000?
Mm-hmm. That's the minimum unit for population. That's the adopted standard. And in the far right corner, that's how we're actually meeting that standard.
But we're not. We need another one. So it could one per 2,000? There's 4,200 people in town.
So yeah.
This number is wrong because this says we have two and we actually have three. So that number is going to change. It's going to be divided then by three instead of the 40 population figure that I used was 4,292 for the 2013 census population.
Yeah.
It'll be divided by three. We have one for every.
So we're one ahead.
So on Swimming Pool Beach, there is at Lake Sawyer Regional
visitor traffic is coming in to use your stuff. Because, like, the gym is being used by people from Maple Valley and Covington with a lot of regularity. Like, this goes in, has to go in somehow into the calculation.
That's true.
And what your level of service is, how much you're providing.
Yeah. You know, and I would say that we would want to say less than 10%. I mean, that would be a different process. 10% is what we have, and this says, well, you know, we still need 200 more acres to do that. But then further in the discussion, you'll see where that requirement is probably going to be fulfilled with the field. But right now, you know, we've got 100% level of service. We only have 5% fee dedicated, so that's what it stands.
Commissioner Amber, is that property open space surrounding the city that you're referring to, is that guaranteed?
Open space. Well, most of it is, yeah. And I think I'm going to put that on our map. We'll have our city designated open space, but then I think we also want to show those areas that are county, state, open space, dedicated open space, so we can see how it all fits together.
And that'll also help us then with the trail network, because
right,
we'll want to queue up with what is going on outside of ourselves,
right,
to make our trail network just inside of town more.
So future needs now on page 8. We talked about that we're lacking parks, we're lacking trails, some dedicated open space lands. We do have other amenities that are available to us. So, you know, and the reason why I want to stress that is not to blow off the responsibilities, but to help the city help guide the prioritization and the funding of what needs to be done. Because
right. There's resources.
No, you don't have the right paper.
Why don't you just take you out? It's kind of redundant. Extensive, okay.
This third line.
Councilmember Deedy, so one on the facility types that the city offers, one of them is volleyball. I don't know if you want to add that, but every Wednesday except for the month of August, we took that off, but every Wednesday night is an open volleyball, open gym for the city, yeah.
I'll have to look at what the facilities standards for volleyball.
Yeah.
So we talk about how the city's population, so we just did a snapshot of what we where we're at today and analyzed that. And now this is moving into, like, where are we going to be in 2035 based on full build-out of the master plan developments to reach a population of 19,265 by 2035. So we talk about how this is really all due to Lawson Hills and the villages, and how much that impacts the parks and facilities and open space that's going to be needed by the city. And then we talk about how in the development agreement, the master developer is obligated to provide recreational facilities based on the city's adopted level of service standards. So theoretically, as they're developing, we shouldn't lose ground if they're meeting their requirements, which goes back to your worry about, like, this fee and lieu thing would be something. They are vested to those old level of service standards. So should the city change their level of service standards in the future, Oak Point is still vested to the old ones. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in Table 6, we see the future. So here's our 2035 snapshot at 19,000-plus people. How many of these facilities will we need? And I'm going to add volleyball there, too. And then on page 7, we look at actually both 7 and 8. I wish I could have fit those tables on the same page. But Lawson Hills is on table 7. The Villages is on table 8. This is from their development agreement, what they are required to provide. So the developer, they can request it, but the city doesn't have to accept the request.
Okay. And the other thing, Mayor Benson, the other thing that you need to think about is this traffic mitigation fee, is that's exactly what we did, is we took the money so that we'd have the money to contribute to those intersections when it was time to fix them, and so that the school could move on to the construction. So that's the kind of agreement that it would be. It would be an agreement that says that we'll provide the land if you build it, and we'll give you X number of dollars. So it could be anything like that.
I think that I will add, at, you know, something about it, the city, so that it makes that language look like the city has, it's at their discretion, right?
Right.
Exactly. Right, because Pepper speaking, I would have a concern that city would take the money and lose the open space.
Well, this is in addition to open space. The city, the master plan development agreement, they have to provide open space. And I think we talk about that on the next page. That's one thing. They got to have open space, plus they have to provide the facilities. So it's not an either or. I wish we could do that, and I wish we could do that with the trails, too. But the problem is that we don't know where it's going to be. Some of it we can map. Some of the open space is going to be the critical areas. But, like, their open space where they elect to put their parks, that could change, just like where they put the trails, connecting trails. So what we could do is certainly map the sensitive areas that they're going to have to set aside as open space, because we know that's not going to change, but we're not really sure where their parks are going to be.
Right. They did do
about where they want to put two cars up front.
On PP1A and Plat 2C, right, because they have preliminary plat, we can map that, but that would be the
Yeah, those would be the only ones that we would
have. Right, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so then so then on the top of page 11, I say that the MPDs are required to dedicate at least 50% of their total area to open space. And that is, that is 50% does include, it does include parks and open space, sensitive area open space, that 50% on that one. Oh, no, no, it's all those, all, right, no, no, you're right. So up to the 800 house, that dwelling unit that they build, to get that certificate of occupancy for that, they have to have built one of each of those. Yep, yeah, it's all of those facilities. When it's finished.
Yeah. You would have the certificate, and then you could sell the house to the people who've been.
Right.
You also could have it and have it sit there.
And
so it does not
and
have to be filled in order to qualify.
No, and and the certificate of occupancy is for an apartment. Dwelling is going to be, I mean, you're not, it's, that's not a partial deal. So if you have an apartment unit and it's done and you're ready to have people moving in, then you're going to get a certificate of occupancy there too.
All the inspectors are going to come in and say, this is good, this is good, this is good, people can occupy it. Then
start selling. That's the distinction that I get. No,
And I do want to make another distinction about the open space area on page 11, and I'm going to add here because, so the statement that the MPDs are required to dedicate at least 50% of their total area to open space, that does include, that 50% does include parks and in open, and just passive natural open space, but in the villages and the Lawsons, in the preliminary plat approval, there are, it breaks it out to how much open space, natural open space and how many parks. So I'm going to plug that in there too so we have a better idea. Plus that'll go with the map when I map that. So table 9 then just kind of is that comparison of okay, in 2035 we said the minimum units per population are this. We said we're going to need these additional facilities, and then with the MPD requirements on that far right column, you see in some cases they're, they will exceed, if they do the full build out, they'll exceed what our own LOS standards said we had to. Right.
I'm going to add the swimming pool here, the beach places, swimming places. But, yeah. Yeah, but you're right. Soccer field will be one short according to our level of service. That's the only one, though, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's done in your park plan. And I would also say that when you start doing your updating the PROS plan, that you'd want to look at those level of service for the adult baseball diamond and the soccer field, because if you don't do that, then the city may, you know, have to build those.
The thing is, too, that plan was written before Ravensdale Park was developed.
Right.
And so Ravensdale Park does fit into the fact that we have local fields available for adults and students.
I would check to see what the usage is of those, because having had my kids come up through baseball when those fields were nothing like that and underwater, they were used all the time, night and day. So that would have been 10 years ago. So I don't know what the level of service on those fields is right now.
So, you know, one way that the city could if we look at the Ravensdale regional facility as a potential for this city to meet our level of service standards, then the city would probably want to go and do some coordination with the owner of those, of that facility. Yeah.
And there may be an opportunity. The new high school is going in. So that being just on our peripheral, that might count. It'd be good to map that.
Oh, that's true, because they're going to have a lot of facilities there, and plus they're not getting rid of the facilities at the old high school. So, mm-hmm. So right. And those have always been used for soccer, because my grandkids played there.
Talk about that in the element when under that section for what kind of coordination opportunities are available that the city may wish to.
Yeah, because it's only 19 years till 2035, right? So.
So then I talk about below table 9. I talk about the GMA requirements. That parks and recreation element in a comprehensive plan is required. It has to have 3 components. Then I go on to say that we've satisfied those components, and here's how. This appendix satisfies the demand for at least the 10-year period and the evaluation of facilities and needs. And then that third bullet is going to be addressed in the goals and policies in the plan element. And so that's just a little bit about how we've done what we're supposed to do. And that's the end of it. Okay. Really, I'd like now if we could just sort of briefly look at what I'd like kind of to read through what we have in our goals and policies in our comp plan, and then just kind of have a talk about, is this relevant, or what about this? You know, we don't have to write these goals and policies. I just want the general feeling and direction from this body to come back with goals and policies for you. So we only have one goal here right now, and that is down at the page here where it says, foster and support the stewardship of natural resources throughout the community in the form of parks, open space, and recreation to serve the needs of the city's residents. That is our one goal. So is there any reaction to that goal?
No. Sorry, I was going to talk about something else.
It does. I think we'll add trails. Mm-hmm. Add trails.
So then below that, you have these two objectives, and I probably, you know, we've just done goals and policies. We haven't been getting into objectives, but I may reword them to make it more of a policy statement, but that parks should include a variety of active, passive, developed, and natural parks and open space. Now, that is a throwback from before the 2008 plan was adopted, because you used to have your, instead of types of parks, you had whether the park type was an active or a passive. So that needs to be massaged anyway. But, I mean, I think what this is really getting at is that we're going to have a policy, the way that I would rewrite this, that we're going to try to create opportunities for everybody. And that's what I was thinking.
I like Councilmember Deedy's idea about the ADA equipping, because as, you know, our population gets older, it's great to have passive use and open space parks and recreational areas, but if our citizens can't get to that because of physical limitations, that doesn't do them any good. So I think that's important.
Yeah.
Mayor Benson, I was just going to say that I have seen people in wheelchairs go down in the park on that gravel trail, so it's not impossible.
No, I've tried pushing a wheelchair up.
Commissioner Ember would like to know if anybody's made it back.
We haven't noticed anybody just kind of parked there.
Left.
So then the next objective, CF7, which again I think I should restate more of as a policy, is really getting at that areas natural beauty should be represented in the park and open space system. I don't have any reaction there. Anybody want to talk about that? That's a good point to have now, so we don't do it at the next meeting, the shoulds and the shall. So that retention is kind of, does everybody feel like that should be a shall? And so... So then policy CF5, provide the city with a system of recreational facilities that are attractive, safe, functional, and available to all segments. That's true. I think, yeah, accessible, I think, is really more the heart of that one. C6, we're encouraging the trail system, which connects to the city's historic district. Yeah, I think it should be maybe a little stronger worded. And CF7, we've got a policy to repair deficiencies and maintain the existing park and facilities as a top priority. I think we need to throw something in there about funding. You know, if we're going to make it a top priority, then there needs to be funds. Yeah, I mean, if it's a top priority, then, I mean, you've got to put some money behind it.
Then it would not be a top priority.
that's a top priority. Otherwise, let's not say that.
Oh, I think, Commissioner Amber, I think maybe the city council should come up with their priorities. Is it public safety, roads, and parks at the bottom, or is it parks at the top? I don't think that's the place for the Planning Commission to really be.
I mean, I think you really want to, I agree with you, but. I mean, what's the point of developing this park system if there's no maintenance piece to it? Well, I'm going to bring stuff back so that we can really shoot at it, and, you know. But I just kind of wanted to get a real, just a general feel for what direction you want me to start writing these things.
Commissioner Amber, well, Councilmember Eidelman, Janie, you said something about it's already in the CIP?
No, we're not putting it in the CIP.
Oh, so it's not in there already in the past? There's been nothing about parks and priorities? Well, you said there was a list of, you know, this,
well,
this.
So there are two pieces to this. One is the capital improvements, the projects that you need to build. But what we're talking about here is the maintenance, ongoing maintenance and operation of what you have already built. So there's two different.
This settlement again. But even now, if you look, in the parks get mowed a couple of times a year. Just like the rights of way get mowed. There's a minimum level of maintenance that gets done. Is it the top of the line best thing that we can do? No, because we can't afford to do that. We don't have the manpower to do it. But there's a minimum amount that does get done.
So if we have something in here that says, you know, the minimal, there's, you know, you're going to continue to fund a minimal or whatever, then that would be good to have, because then if you're making budgetary decisions in the future, you're not going to pull all the funding from maintaining, mowing a field. You wouldn't be able to say, well, we just won't mow and that'll save us $50 this year, because you would have a policy that said you're not going to pull funding there.
And they're doing a great job.
So then CF aid. Development of new parks within the city shall involve obtaining land by purchase or dedication, developing parks with emphasis on active play areas, benches. See, what do you think about B?
Depends on where the park is. I mean, there's some open space that's supposed to be undisturbed for wildlife to go uninterrupted, and putting a park there that is, you know, with light, you know, right next to it, with lights and stuff, depending on the type of park. So I don't think developing parks should be based on where the park is.
Yeah, the location of the park. Yeah.
And not just.
Because you certainly don't want a park in the middle of a residential area that has bright lights.
Right.
And especially, there's going to be a senior housing element at some point that is probably going to come up soon for one of their next permitting processes. And that senior, no, it's going to be an amusement park. But there,
water slide.
But if it's a senior park, you want it to be very passive and not have all of those elements. So you're right. You need to think about the location of it.
Pepper, and because this was written before the breakout of the types of parks, maybe the types of parks could be combined with what this is saying. Mm-hmm. And that would, you know, if it's senior or if it's open space or something, you're not going to.
Yeah. As appropriate thing. Language as appropriate. And then that policy CF9, that is just, that's the old LOS. So that is just, we need to have a policy that says we're going to meet our adopted LOS. So it'll be there, but it'll be the new standards.
Well, now, Commissioner Amber, would you want, per, 5 acres per 1,000 people, or would you want to, instead of doing it piecemeal, make like, one big central park, or just instead of little parks every, town's not that big, but, little tiny useless parks every five blocks.
Pepper talking. Black. Yeah, because Pepper talking, what we have now is Black Diamond's about 6.8 square miles, and that's about 4,352 acres. So we have the 227 acres, so that leaves us with 4,125 acres. So we've got basically the rest of the community right now has 159 acres, aside from the great big Lake Sawyer Park. So that's not very much.
There's not that much land. That's a beautiful point.
Right. So I think thinking about open space and park space in the city is really important because there more people are coming and they need a place to relax and Well, and the other thing that we might want to think about is I know we're not ready to think about ballparks right now and soccer fields, but soccer teams pay for the lights. Soccer teams pay to play on the fields. Baseball teams play. I mean, there's a monetary factor with the sports. So
that's where you get into some of your program work. And then the last one says we're going to maintain an up-to-date parks plan, which is a wonderful policy, but we didn't do it. But I think it's going to be coming before you on it as a suggested CIP item. Thank you so much, because this was a really, so much help.
So moved.
And September 5th.